Today I want to talk about how we handle fear. So this summer while traveling in Rome, we got the unforgettable experience of touring the Colosseum. Mm. Now, it was a guided tour, and in our group was a sweet Australian family of five, and about halfway through, their oldest son, he was about 12 or 13, he got lost from the group. Ooh. And the mom began to panic. Oh. And so my wife, Amy, she quickly stepped in and she said, "Hey, we'll watch your other two kids while you and your husband search for him. We'll stay with the group so, you know, they'll be safe." So thankfully, within a few minutes, he reappeared. But instead of relief, he snapped at his mom in that teenager tone and said, "Why did you leave me?" And she fired back with this mix of relief, I'm sure, and frustration. Mm-hmm. "You went ahead of us. I know you were scared, but you don't have to be a jerk about it." Sorry, Australians. That was my best effort here. But I see what people say about my accent, right? It's the rebuke sounds a lot cuter when it's in that Australian tone. Now, even though they were both clearly relieved, there wasn't any hugs upon reunion. And that reminded me of a well-known study in attachment called the Strange Situation Experiment, where researchers observed children's behaviors when they're separated from and reunited with a parent. Now, children developing a vacillator attachment style, which is also known as an anxious ambivalent style, they protest upon reunion with the parent. They do this push-pull. They want comfort, but they're unable to receive it, and they push back away, and they want the parent to know, "I'm upset at being left by you." Now, this scene at the Colosseum, that was a perfect example. The son was scared, but he expressed it as anger. He was unable to receive that comfort, or he wasn't expecting it from the mom. And the mom was scared, and she responded with frustration. Now, I like to say we either talk out our emotions or we act them out, or we verbalize or we dramatize. Now, to ease the tension, my wife shared a similar story about a time my son lost the head to his Spider-Man figure when we were outside Buckingham Palace in a crowd. And as they bent down to look for it, you know, we couldn't see them and they got disconnected from my daughter and I. And when we reunited, there was no slow motion hugs or, you know, joyful music playing in the background. Sadly, it was frustration from us too. But what was under that? It was fear. Now, I've done some growth since then, and if I could go back to that moment, I'd like to think I'd say something more like, "I'm sorry we got lost from one another. I know you were scared. I was worried too. I'm just really glad we're back together again." And then, "Can I have a hug? Can I give you a hug?" Now, each of the attachment styles, they have their own way of dealing with fear. Avoiders, typically, they shut it down. They say things like, "Suck it up," or "Be brave. It's going to be fine." Pleasers, are often, they're so fearful themselves that they jump in and they rescue others instead of allowing people space to grow. And then vacillators, as I mentioned, they fear rejection and abandonment, and they can often mask their vulnerability with anger. So the next time fear shows up for you, whether through avoidance, rescuing, or anger, pause and ask yourself, what's a softer, more productive response? Learn to hold space for yourself, be gentle with others, and stay curious to understand the fear under the anger, because at its most secure point, love acknowledges, accepts, and comforts fear.
Yeah. Alice, any thoughts?
The verbalize or dramatize, if we don't talk about our feelings, they're going to leak out, and usually in an ugly, unproductive way. Is that what it means?
Exactly. And others have to guess. Guess from our behaviors.